For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Oh, what a night. Watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday 'cause you're...
Hello and welcome to a What a Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network, talking about Tottenham Hotspur. Joining me, as he does every week, is my friend Jude Summerfield. Hello, you mate.
Hello, mate. I'm all good. Yeah,
all good.
Yeah,
been a long day. We're recording at the end of the day. Once
I've got curry in my belly and like I'm feeling a bit sleepy, but you know we'll put the energy in here and then we'll sleep at our desks.
That's true. We're doing a pod in a pod today.
We are doing a pod. It's pretty sick. I have
it
to
is.
Say
it is. So yeah. our office is in Bond Street, but it's quite small. And one day we just walked in and there was loads of these kind of like Futurama Doctor Who style pods to do meetings in. And we've never actually done one in one of these before. It's actually getting quite hot now.
It is getting hot. As soon as I said it was really sick, I was like, oh, it's actually really humid in here as well.
Hot in it, yeah.
I sweat very easily anyway, so
it's
not going to be easy.
It's way hot. Might be too hot.
Might be too hot, yeah. How are you doing, mate? You all good?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, like you.
Watching just all the Nations League.
I have. I was out to watch Portugal versus Spain last night. Wasn't a very good match.
I didn't watch it. But
no, you'd think with the star power on the show that either side might have done more than just Morata scoring a tap in the 89th minute. But whatever. I didn't actually watch either of England's games live, which is funny. We'll talk about it in a sec. But it sounded like kind of a bit of a blessing. Maybe not like the last 20 or so minutes of the 3-3 of Germany, but I was keen to avoid the kind of negativity around the England team.
Yeah, it was probably for the best. It was quite a turgid pair of results and performances, really.
Did you watch them?
I sort of half watched the Italy game, which I very much regret in hindsight, because that was an embarrassment. You fucking look through Italy's team and see how just how short on quality it was, and then England couldn't find any way through them. It was terrible. Yeah. And the Germany one had its moments of chaos, which was fun, but as for good quality football, I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
But they always do it. They do it in the tournaments, don't they? So it's a bit tough to get too aggro.
Yeah, I've always kind of largely stood by Southgate for much of his kind of tenure, like not in a way where it's just like just kind of accepting where we are, but I also do think that international football is really tough. I think that obviously the way he got the role was just coming through the youth teams, and then when Big Sam got the sack, he was just kind of there. But I think he has learnt a lot on the fly. He's done a lot of kind of searching on how to kind of make himself. I don't think he's going to be able to be an elite manager, but this is someone who took England to their first World Cup semi-final in, what was it, 28 years?
Yeah.
First Euros final, and was a penalty shootout away from being only the second ever England manager to win a major tournament. I mean, these are the kind of margins we're talking about. I don't think that happens by accident, but I also think that it's really hard to get it right with international football. You have so little time with the players, you have so little time to kind of form these bonds. I've been a bit more critical this year because I don't think you can ignore the drop in form, but I think my positivity going into the World Cup is more based on the only two good teams really that going into the World Cup in form are Brazil and Argentina. All the European teams are kind of scrambling, or don't feel like they're quite yet there yet, or they're in transition periods or stuff like that. But at least England have the kind of now big tournament experience.
Yeah,
lots of players have lots of big moments on big stages.
Yeah, and they have like a camp that knows how to go deep and knows how to almost like get along for the entirety of a tournament, which I think is like quite an underrated value, really. I mean, I'm sure plenty of teams have gone out just because they can't get along. Like you see, like France last time, they had Mbappe and Benzema like playing in the same position, and they both wanted the ball at the same time, and like it just didn't work. So at least they've got like, it's not a great system, but at least people sort of know what they're doing.
Even the old the golden generation of England teams admitted like just they didn't get along because they were too focused on their club.
Yeah, I
mean, ties and stuff like that.
I mean, that the level of toxic masculinity in those changing rooms, I'm sure, was pretty horrendous. I would not like to have been in those dressing rooms 15 years ago. I reckon it would have been horrible.
Doesn't sound great.
Everyone just getting their chests and their wangs out and all that.
Yeah.
Seeing who's the biggest. But anyway.
Yeah, so Spurs lads on international duty with England. Kane, 3 goals now behind Rooney, I want to say.
I think that's about right, yeah.
He did set his sights on breaking the record before the World Cup, but it hasn't really gone to plan this year.
It hasn't, no, because it looked like he might do it. What was the international? I think we played San Marino and maybe like Bulgaria.
Yeah, he scored like 9 goals like at San Marino.
Yeah, people really didn't like that he had scored no goals.
And
ended up with like 7 in one international break, which is what he seems to do that a lot, like just stat pad in the last few games and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he didn't really have a very good. I know you didn't. Watch the games. It was just the penalty he scored, really, in that second game.
I saw against Germany the late pass where he somehow gets over to Saka, and then for some reason he takes a touch away from goal.
Yeah, there were
And then keeps running, and it's too late. It's already on his weaker right foot. He's just not going to score against De Stegen.
Yeah, there were some much better moments of build up play, Kane genuinely seems to link up with Bukayo Saka quite well. Like when they play in the Euros, they were doing bits, and it looked like a good little partnership. They just don't doesn't seem to be clicking with Foden or Sterling at the moment, and like Foden doesn't really, I know he's a great player, doesn't really seem to do too much for England.
This is a safe zone, G. You can talk down for as much as you want without the need to feel like
the
you're
fear
being
of the Northerners. No, I just think it must be lovely to play with KDB and Bernardo Silva at club level, but then when you maybe need to do the star quality bits yourself, go and do it.
I would simply like to see more from someone who has clearly that much talent.
Exactly.
How about some goals and assists? Anything? You're going to try and beat your man? No?
Can
alright,
you
cool.
just fulfil your just, talent just and let me enjoy you watching it, please?
Fulfil Foden.
Fulfil. Wow. Okay. Right. Well, you can have.
I'm very intelligent.
You can make the fulfil Foden millions. That's fine. Just give me 1%.
We'll see about that. Back in the England fold was Eric Dier. Who I was going to assume, because like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch both of these matches at the time, but I assume that because criticism was going elsewhere, he was fine.
Kinda. I mean, Maguire in the second game, obviously horrendous. I think when the player ranks came in, we gave him about a 3 out of 10. I think Dier was on 6.
Oh, that's fine then.
Which, you know, 6 out of 10 isn't.
In a game where you can see 3 goals, that's quite fine.
Not too bad. There was one pretty hairy moment, I think, when I think Germany had just scored the second, or the, I mean, it must have been their second, and Dier just sort of slips in the penalty area not under no pressure, but just like no one's really around him, and it almost gifts Germany a goal.
He has one of those a game, really.
He does. But for the most part, he was quite solid, and he wasn't doing anything like. There are worse performances being put in by current England centre backs than Eric Dier, and he actually brings quite a lot of leadership to that team as well.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, who you take for defence and for England in the winter is a little bit of a weird one. But
I think if he's fit, he goes.
Yeah, especially if he's fit, because I do think he's the best back three merchant in England to be.
I think it was important for him to get in this squad, because this feels like the last chance for Southgate to kind of see his guys
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And, yeah, I mean, Ben White is probably not going to get in now because he didn't have a sniff in that squad.
I know this is going to end up being an anti-Arsenal podcast, but I'm actually quite surprised by that.
I thought
a lot of the characteristics that Southgate would actually like in a centre-back and a back.
Well, I mean, the annoying thing is maybe... he probably hasn't had the amount of exposure as maybe like Fikio Tomori in Milan, but he was probably part of a group that maybe should, you know, those fringe lads could have just been backed a little more to like earn some responsibility in that in that team, and it's not really happened. So you've still got like Tyrone Mings and Kokoe.
Well, White went to the Euro summer as well, didn't he? So it's weird.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
okay, you feel like some of those selections were based with future tournaments. Like Bellingham. I don't think he did much. I think he came off like 20 minutes in the quarterfinal or something.
That
like
was
that.
Pretty much it.
Yeah, that was a bit. I think it was Southgate just kind of saying, let's get him used to the group. Let's...
I think he was still quite an unknown quality.
Yeah, like, it wasn't until really last season that he fully broke onto the scene.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord, I'm sweating, Sean. It's terrible. but yeah, Bellingham, yeah. I mean, we love guys called Jude, don't we? Because they're obviously stand-up fellas.
Oh, yeah, your name's Jude. I forgot about
it
that.
It is, yeah. You know, I always wonder if people sing Hey Jude to him as well.
Probably do, actually.
They probably do.
I can imagine that being a big thing in the Dortmund dressing room. He just gets a bit fed up with it.
I can imagine that.
You've got all that to look forward to when you go to Real Madrid, mate.
It will happen.
Yeah.
25. I'm not past it just yet.
Yeah.
Might happen. Drop the duck.
You dropped the duck.
Yeah.
There was a rubber duck in there. Jude's been playing with it the whole time.
Anyway,
should we move on to some others in international team?
Let's
talk about Richarlison, because it was a great shame. It came out, Brazil played Tunisia last night, 1-5-1. Richarlison scored, he had a really, really good game. But after during his celebrations, someone in the crowd threw a banana at him, and it was a game as well where Brazil specifically kind of dedicated it to anti-racism kind of causes. They posted the banner pre-match with a message that was along the lines of, we wouldn't have these like World Cup stars on our shirts without our black players, and it's really sad that that's kind of still going on. I know that the club are throwing the support behind Richarlison, and I think there was a really good video with Rio Ferdinand earlier where he's talking about it, so love and support to him. But
yeah,
at least on the footballing side,
yeah,
he's showing his worth still.
Yeah, I mean that stuff is obviously disgraceful, and I think it was being played in France, wasn't it?
It was at Parc des Princes,
so yeah, it was over there in France, which is, you know, it's horrible to see, obviously. But I mean, on the footballing side, he got, how many goals did he get? I think he
scored two in the other game.
Well.
So he's got three in his last two.
Yeah, because I know. Yeah, I definitely knew he scored one against Tunisia, but I wasn't sure about the one before. But that's him. That's him nailing down his spot for the World Cup as well, which is so cool. I know he's sort of almost the de facto number nine in that squad, just because he seems to make everything else work. Which is maybe why Gabriel Jesus isn't in it, but I think he'll probably still go.
Have you seen the old tweet from the 2018 World Cup where Brazil fans were a bit fed up with him? And it was like Gabriel Jesus in 2014 versus 2018 versus 2022.
No.
And in 2014, he's washing like a car on the street and stuff, because that's probably his background.
Mm-hmm.
2018, he's starting the World Cup. 2022, he's back to washing the car. Nothing against the guy.
I'd maybe disagree. I don't think that'll happen, but it is funny. So we let it ride. No, I mean, I didn't actually see the Brazil games. I just saw the news and they scored. But yeah, quality. That it's great that we have a Brazilian R9 in our team who's
the best in history.
The best around. Yeah. The best there ever.
And if he wins a World Cup, then you know.
If he wins a World Cup, that will be as good as a trophy for Spurs.
can you imagine the kind of trophy discourse about like Kane if Richarlison goes and wins the World Cup as Brazil's starting striker? He comes back with the World Cup medal.
I can imagine it, and I think it would be spectacular. I'd almost be there for it.
It's on the cards.
It probably will happen. You know, I mean, the other day I was seeing like tweets like it was like reactions of Harry Kane smiling because England had been relegated from the Nations League.
Oh, yeah.
So he can stat pad, you know, stuff like that.
Well,
so
actually, when you put it like that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, he's going to be breaking that record in no time. But yeah, class for Richie.
Love Richie.
Love him.
Good lad.
Mm.
I'm sure he'll be pushing for a place against Arsenal. Right? Okay, so get one over Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Brazilians who didn't make the squad.
Even if he doesn't, him coming off the bench of the Emirates, I'm sure will rile some people. Just hope he doesn't get himself sent off or anything.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Moving on, Son Heung-min, still in form. 2 goals while away with South Korea, I think. 1 free kick.
Banging another form, free kick. Yeah, another free kick. And it starts to beg the question, yeah. You know?
Does it? Does it really?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, our good friend Ben Haynes was talking a little bit earlier and just about Kane's free kick, that we sort of all had the same opinion that maybe it's time to go.
Just a little bit. I did comment, like, what do you think is going through Kane's head when he's seeing Son, he pulls up his phone and he got a video on Twitter and it's Son scoring free kick for South Korea, another free kick for South Korea. Like, do you think that he's so kind of set in his own ways that he's thinking, oh wow, good for Sonny, he can take free kicks too?
Yeah, I mean,
or is he like looking on a jersey? I think it's the former.
Yeah, I think it's the form, but also Eric Dier is getting on free kicks every now and again.
Yeah, but at least he scored like a meaningful one.
He did.
That wasn't deflected.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, how meaningful in the end, really? Wow. That last 16th, crushing to Iceland. But yeah, I mean, he needs to get himself a free kicks, and Sonny needs to just start.
He should be just more assertive. 100%. Harry, can you just piss off?
Can you leave me alone?
Just go.
The lad scores so many goals from distance anyway. Just like, I mean, that game against Leicester, like the two, you can just see is striking from distance.
The first one was the way to get up and down so it was under the bar. That would be like a free kick as well.
Yeah, it really was. Like, the overspin was cracking on it, and I just think it's time for him to be given a go now.
Yeah,
and like, if we're scoring goals from set pieces as well, like Ben mentioned earlier, then like, just keep adding all those.
We are a set pieces team now, which is quite fun. Yeah. It brings a whole level of excitement when you,
mate. I mean, set pieces. Going from like one end of the spectrum to the other in like 2-3 years,
it's a roller coaster.
Obviously, you have to like enjoy it a little bit, because before we were just absolutely pants at corners. It was like, oh, swing it in, see what happens. It's not being the first man. Okay, here we go. And now it's like, oh, like, E equals MC squared and runs to the back league and all this. It's great.
I feel like Pep, when he's doing that team talk for the Carabao Cup.
Oh, sit down.
No. The one where he's like jumping all over the place. He's like, like jumping, he's putting behind his back. Like, Gundo goes there. He's like, kind of like, it's almost like he's pulling like some imaginary rope or something.
Looking at you now, I'm just seeing Tony Adams doing
Like that. Yeah.
Sorry,
shouldn't. Good
entertainment. And bring him up. Just get Sonny on free kicks, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had enough.
We have had some other international lads on duty. Well, one of the notable ones I want to bring up was our good friend Jack Gallagher, a devout Irishman, was telling us all about Troy Parrott's miss for Ireland against Scotland the other day, which actually was quite horrendous, actually.
It was quite bad. Over half of the pitch to run through, I swear.
Well, we talked about it last week. No, this is a man playing for a team who's scored 4 goals in 10 games or whatever.
Yeah.
3 goals, I think, wasn't it?
But then again, they go and smash Armenia 3-2, don't they? They obviously can score when they fancy it.
I'm surprised Matt Doherty wasn't actually among the scorers.
That was good. He does love a goal, and it was really good to see him actually starting games over the break. And so I think he's come back unscathed.
Yeah.
Because, this month coming up is like nightmare fuel.
It's a bit spooky, isn't
it? It's very spooky.
Well, we'll go to Arsenal in a minute, but the thought of going to Frankfurt away in midweek is a bit not an ideal fixture. Probably more ideal than anyone else going away to another top one team, but
still, I think they're quite a hostile bunch.
They've been crap this season. You just got to hope
they have been crap.
Wilt under the pressure.
Yeah, that's the thing. They haven't picked that many points, but. Yeah, if you're going to Frankfurt, just be safe. Because I've heard some things and some stuff.
Some stories.
I wouldn't recommend
it. Oh, a nice place, though.
Oh, lovely place. Architecture, cuisine, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's bussing.
All right. Should we move on to the North London Derby?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, like, it's always just such an anxiety-filled game anyway, but it seems like it's ramped up this time around just because, they're not sixth and ninth or whatever. Mm. 15th. They're actually. Yeah, it seems like there's good amount of quality on both sides for it to actually be a game with some amount of stakes.
Yeah, and as we've talked about in the office today, quite rare that happens, that both teams go in and kind of near the top of their game. I think the example I gave were the duel at the Lane at the end of last season. Before that, you probably look at the last game at Wembley, the 1-1, when we were both fighting for top four and Aubameyang missed the last minute penalty, including the kind of how laughably inside the area of Vertonghen was.
It was a little illegal, wasn't it?
I like the image where it's kind of doctored to make it look even better. That's my favourite one.
He's sprinting in.
So that's really real. They're like kind of stoking that fire. You know, that's really, it really gets me.
He does get a block on it.
In the VAR, it's definitely retaken.
Yeah. Yeah, he got that with it nice and quick.
In the VAR, it's retaken. Aubameyang scores, and that's enough for Arsenal to finish above us. And they get top four, and we don't. And yeah, that's not what happened.
Sliding doors.
I don't deal in ifs, buts, and maybes. I deal in absolutes.
Absolutes. He's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Then even before that.
Sorry, that was Ben Haynes walking past.
Yeah, sorry, just had to flip him the bird.
That was as close as he's getting to getting back on this point. He's banned.
This is your yard now.
Yeah, before that, you're probably looking at the duels in 15-16 when we're both going for the title. That's kind of these gaps, these big gaps in how...
Oh, yeah.
You know, when have Arsenal or Spurs both been good at the same time? That, it just rarely happens nowadays.
Yeah, that 15-16 game at the Lane, is, I think that's just still lives rent-free in a lot of Spurs fans' heads.
Well, I'm trying not to think about it, so...
That was the 2-2.
Yeah, I know, I was there.
Oh, yeah, of course you were.
It was a shame. I fell down the row when the second one went
They
in.
Did go 2-1 up, didn't they? And they were a player up, yeah. Just inexperience and not keeping the head in a season like that where it was a two-horse race. We might have finished second in that two-horse race. It just didn't quite happen.
You done speaking? Yeah? You want to share that for a bit?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, let's talk about some happier memories at the Emirates, which aren't very many. I have three games on my running order. We'll start with the first actual kind of positive result, a 4-4 draw. Harry Redknapp's second game in charge. First one, he was like proper in.
We were getting smacked at one point. We were like at least 4-2 down.
We're 4-2 down, yeah. We had gone on one up through Bentley's one to goal.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Then quite a couple of like...
Quite a few Arsenal goals.
Yeah, a few of them.
Yeah, I can't really remember any of them.
There wasn't a good Gomez game, I remember that. Like, I don't think there were like explicit errors, but it was definitely like, could you maybe a little bit better, mate?
Yeah.
I think there were some set pieces goals in there as well.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can imagine.
Like you, Spurs. Oh, wait, Spurs? Doesn't sound like you.
I can imagine him being a bag of nerves. But yeah, I remember the first, the third, and the fourth goal for Spurs, but I don't remember.
Darren Bent scored. Now, of the Arsenal persuasion.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh yeah, of course. Oh yeah, he does not talk
about
him up, doesn't he?
Talk about we.
Yeah.
Which is quite fine. I don't really count it as
Spurs legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because he was part of the squad that won the League Cup. But I think Harry Redknapp summed up best when in that Portsmouth game where he called him out and just said, "My wife would have scored that header." And I don't doubt it, because I was going absolutely mental at my TV at home. Just like, how the hell have you missed?
Yeah, that
was
bad.
Whopper.
Now you say that, it must have been a tap in, surely.
It was like a header. It was just so close range. It was like, and he missed target.
Ah, I see.
But it's just like, oh my god.
Silly sausage.
Yeah. But yeah, the 4-4 starts with, well, the comeback starts with Genius just kind of robbing.
That was a great goal. Yeah.
Really great. Just Clichy slips, Genius takes it. Smashes it in. He loved the goal against Arsenal, to be fair. As much as...
Yeah, that was the other one he scored at the Lane as well.
No, 2-2, yeah. I remember that.
Late equaliser.
I didn't watch it, but I think my understanding is we got battered a bit. But I remember I was getting live updates when I was playing football and people were trying to like kind of troll me into thinking that Arsenal would like turn it around, which is actually what happened. But then they kind of bit them on the arse when they get the news come through, Genius has scored in 94th, and I was just like...
Inject it.
Yeah. But yeah, scored another one here. And then obviously, Modric nearly scored a wonder goal.
An absolute screamer.
Which kind of gets kind of swept under the rug. But then this obviously for a good reason because Lennon's just there to tap it in, and it would have been so good to have been there for that one.
That one,
and there weren't many Spurs fans left there either. my vivid memory is just all the Spurs fans jumping over like the empty seats just because.
Well, one fella gets onto the pitch really quick, and he starts having a massive hug with Lennon. He slips over and something like. My head's just thinking of that Mitrovic moment with the fan where he's like down there and the fan's all the way up there. But it wasn't like that at all. But yeah, that was sort of like the start of Spurs being like, we're getting in amongst you now. Yeah. We're going to upset everything.
Yeah.
We're going to make things difficult and start just readdressing that balance a little bit, which is lovely. To steal a point off them at 4-2 down.
And that was a good Arsenal team. That was a title.
It was a really good Arsenal team. Really. I mean, they must have had. I mean, I'm just sort of guessing on the year, but it must have been like Fabregas, Nazri,
Van Persie.
Like, those are very good players. Pretty good. Much better than Darren Bent.
All these good players.
And they still couldn't hold on to a 4-2 lead.
With 1 minute to go.
Just let him shoot from outside the box.
Yeah.
Great idea, that's right.
Don't count unless it's, like I said last week, you chip it over to the left back and it takes 25 passes to go in, you know, don't count.
Doesn't count.
Exactly. Okay, so moving on to our first with the Emirates a couple of seasons later. Another comeback.
2-0
down.
Yeah.
I remember Ian Wright was really kind of, he was doing the punditry for Sky Sports and he was really happy at half time. And then at full time he had like his hat over his face, he didn't want to, didn't really want to face the world. And you get all the stories like of Redknapp's halftime team talk where I think Van der Vaart said he was just kind of shouting complete gibberish, or at least it was gibberish to him because he probably didn't understand the Cockney he was saying.
I'm not back to Wheeler Daily, you know.
It's just that for 15 minutes. But then apparently only just kind of, it just goes quiet and then he just says one thing and it's Lennon out to Foden and that was it. Tactical genius.
Wow, yeah.
Arsene Wenger. Oh,
you can manage the whole club, but Harry's a wheeler and dealer. Thank you very much. He's always just said that was his thing. Really, he was just a man. Well, I almost said he was just a manager. He was more of a manager than a tactician, and he got the best out of his play. And he could get big, like 30, 45 minute performances out of some.
Yeah, it worked. It did work. The first goal starts with Defoe winning a header against, I can't remember who the centre back was, but just the concept of Jermaine Defoe winning a header.
Yeah, that's Tim.
To set up a goal is just a bit. Yeah. Feels very soft Arsenal, doesn't it?
It's not good enough, I'd say, from a centre back to be losing out to Defoe in the air. But that's Bale who gets on the end of it, right? And then he's just sort of scampers. Yeah, it was sort of Pete Gareth Bale era where he just does not want to use or think about his right foot. Mm. So just dribble. Like, how could you. Outside the boot, running like towards the byline to smack it that other is ridiculous. I know these are pro footballers, but it's just crazy.
Yeah,
that's such a good finish.
And then I think it was the free kick. Yeah, free kick. Van der Vaart hits against the wall.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For some reason, I will always blame Fabregas for this because it's Shamak who gives away. But I'm convinced that when you look at the replay, Fabregas is holding Shamak's arm for him and just like yanks it up, and it's just like. Why are you doing that? You don't need to do that. It's not even going in your face or anything.
Yeah, but it seemed like he was almost like chasing the ball when the arm was going.
Just trying to catch it. He's trying to get it. It's just like, but you're dumb.
Yeah. Because in the rules of football, that is
not a legal move.
That's not legal.
It's not illegal. Don't worry, penalties don't count, so it's fine.
Talk about non-penalty goals.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Right.
Van der Vaart scores from the spot.
Yeah, and then, we love the Arsenal.
And 2-2. And then I really thought that would be it. And then all of a sudden we get this free kick. No danger whatsoever. It's so far away from the goal.
Yeah.
It's on the halfway line, basically. Bale gets kind of yanked out back. Wide. Float the ball in. Cabal just kind of gets a nick on it. And that's
all they needed.
That's Bob's your uncle, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, with those sort of, with those curled balls in, like sometimes it's just a flick because the direction is obviously going towards the back stick anyway. So it's just all a flick is all you need.
There was that weird period where Wenger couldn't design his goalie and it was Fabianski in goal.
Yeah,
and kind of like, oh no, there it goes.
I feel like they were always constantly swapping between like Fabianski, Chesney, and Manone.
Almunia.
Sorry,
Manone came a couple of years later, but he was even worse.
Okay, yeah, he was quite shocking.
Yeah,
that was sort of when Younes Kabul was. He had like a bit of a purple patch for Spurs, and then he just got crocked. maybe yeah. a couple of seasons later, and he missed the whole
yeah,
season.
Yeah, because he was right back in the City Champions League game.
Yeah.
And he got the assist from mm-hmm. Crouch, basically. Then by 11-12, he was in the France squad.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, he just got a couple of injuries and never really came back.
Because,
then,
yeah, before...
It was part of, like, the Rebels against Poch and stuff like that.
Yeah, which... hindsight, not amazing.
Not great. No. Group of players. Apart from Kapu, has been quite accomplished.
Yeah, but it's...
But, yeah.
But, it's jokes to see, yeah. like, oh, Adebayor wants him to go. Oh, Kabul wants him to go. Oh, Etienne Kapu says he needs to leave. Okay, great.
Stambouli, you just got here.
You're going to be a big part of our plans, Benjamin Stambouli. You won't be shipped off after a season. Somehow to PSG.
Proper football manager. I need a homegrown player vibes.
It really was. Yeah.
That was a fun game. That was nearly 12 years ago now.
I feel old.
Yeah.
We're relatively young men, but that is a long time ago.
That is a long time. Over half my life. No, is it? No, it's not. Just over half my life, sorry.
Yes.
No, I'm not good at maths right now.
Yeah, so...
Okay, moving on to the third and final positive result of the Emirates Stadium in our 15 or so years going there. We won 2-0 in the Carabao Cup. I think what made this really kind of special was it came a couple of weeks after we just got our arses handed to us there.
Mm.
But then the Arsenal fans were doing laps of victory. Just, like, I think they moved a few points clear of us. But it seemed like quite definitive, like, oh, this is like the beginning of the Emery era. This is it, that we're taking the power back of North London back, like we're on top again. And then, but it was quite obvious that okay, just this was one game, like don't you can think this, but whatever. And then a couple of weeks later we were second in the league.
Mm.
Obviously it got tight towards the end of the season, but it showed how quickly things just changed back, and we won this quarter final, which was nice because it was almost like the inverse of when they beat us in the League Cup a few years before, where Poch rotated his whole team, got the fans a bit angry, even though Wenger did the same, and it was two flaring bangers. You can't really do much about
it. I was at that game. I regret going to that one.
Really?
Well, just because of the quality on show. I think we scored, but it was from some sort of own goal.
Yeah.
Chadley might have been in the mix and something like that. But I loved that win at the Emirates because it gave us a really... It gave us quite a few iconic moments, especially from Delhi. You know, the whole 2-0 thing. And
2-0. Thank God it stayed 2-0. Yeah. I was in the pub. It was only like 10 minutes left. But I was in the pub just being like, oh my God.
I mean, that can go one or two ways.
I was hoping that we didn't score. I just wanted it to stay. It's not the same effect if we win 3-0.
Yeah, that's very true. That's so true. But yeah, that was class, and like
the goal he scored.
We got like a, I think that was one of the, maybe the first glimpses of like playmaker Kane as well.
Yeah, off the bench, first thing he does is that pass and the finish. Just,
I thought
he sliced it. I thought that he'd properly mishit it. But you look at it back, and it's just like I could not have been more perfectly placed. Yeah, really.
I love how quickly they got moving in that with that goal as well. Because I think it just goes from goalie to Kane, and then Delhi's already on the move and.
Yeah, this was towards the beginning of the kind of Gazzaniga should start over Lloris movement, and it hasn't really gone well since.
Just because he was a handsome man,
I think he's like fourth choice at Fulham now.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite kicked on from that game at Liverpool. But, you know, very handsome man. But the finish of just so nonchalant, almost sort of like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I think it was check and goal, just went sailing easily past him. And bedlam in the away end.
Yeah. 9,000. Don't usually get allowed to that, even though it's like kind of in the cup rules.
Yeah. It's a good little turnout, that.
They're like, you know what, Spurs are going to win tonight. Let them have 9,000. Let them have them.
Yeah, they didn't. Arsenal didn't defend like a team who wanted to win that game, to be fair. But that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we move on to last season's games?
Yeah,
which one do you want to start with? The bad one or the good one?
So we can do the bad one quickly.
Yeah, let's get over with. Okay,
and maybe just sort of say that one of the nails in the coffin for Nuno.
Yeah,
you can't rock up to your arch rivals not playing with a midfield. It's just not going to work. I will bang this drum forever.
Probably the most depressing 30 minutes of my sporting life. Just like the manner of just... I don't think that Arsenal were even that good that day. It was before they'd really found themselves. Like, they'd beaten Norwich like in that like really kind of tight 1-0. I think they'd beaten Burnley as well, but it's like those were two teams that went down. This was the real kind of test of their strength. And I think we'd gone to this, we'd lost 3-0 to Palace, we lost 3-0 to Chelsea. But at least I remember the discourse coming away from the first half against Chelsea was there's a blueprint here, there's a vision, there's a way to play. And if we follow that, we'll be fine. And then Arsenal away happens, and I just don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think from one of the first few attacks of the game. I think I was in a bar watching it, and you could just sense that this Tottenham team were just far too open, and that just bad things were going to happen.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what did happen.
You kind of get what you deserve sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, what was the midfield three we were going for at that time?
It was Højbjerg, who was basically playing as a centre back. And then Dembélé and Dumbelé, who were playing as forward.
God, it's like not even that long ago, and that's what Nuno was getting up to.
No showing for the ball.
No, there really wasn't. And that was sort of the sort of depressing thing about that game, is because you had nobody really showing for the ball, everyone wanting to play what's in front of them, but then also no one really tracking back.
Yeah,
I think Dele, his running stats are supposed to be really good.
Yeah, that, I think they were.
Those sort of like first few games he played for us. But yeah, that was not a good day out.
No.
And I had to have quite a few pints to forget about it.
It was a lot of, it was basically just kind of 70 minutes of Arsenal fans singing Tottenham get bad everywhere they go.
Yeah, which is tough when neither team were that good on the day.
we got a goal back, we probably should have a pen as well.
Yeah, I think Ramsdale made an incredible save from, it might have been Kane as well, which is always good for the highlight reels. And then... But yeah, there's not too much we can take from that game, really.
Because eventually, we got our revenge when we were the kind of the full version of ourselves from last season.
Yes, when everything was on the line, we won the game.
When it bloody mattered.
When it mattered, which is it's so easy to talk about that game just because it was so perfect, and they had their big fill at the Emirates, and we got ours really, and in the end, we were the ones who finished on top, which just makes it so much sweeter. But I don't know if Rob Holding's going to be playing on Saturday.
Could have done with that.
We could have done with that, couldn't we? Because
they've got better centre backs.
I can't even remember if he's. Yeah, they do have better centre backs. But I think it's going to be a fascinating game, isn't it? That one. But anyway, that 3-0 one.
And it's easy to talk about now because, like when we were discussing it, immediately after it was still with. We didn't know who was going to get top four. So if Arsenal had got top four, then it wouldn't have really mattered. But because it was ultimately this swing of momentum, this kind of broke them, it kind of broke their mood. And I think when they went to St. James's Park, they were just kind of... they didn't obviously go down to 10 men, but they shrunk in the big occasion again. They shrunk in the limelight and couldn't really handle it.
Yeah, that was it. They were against a pretty resurgent Newcastle team, I think, at the time, who were just... much more physical in the middle of the park. They had like Joe Ellington and Bruno Guimaraes, who were just, I can't really remember who was playing for Arsenal in midfield, but it wasn't anyone of physical note, I don't think, because they got swept aside pretty easily. But like I think it's a bit of a different Arsenal these days. Not like, I still don't know if they have a proper backbone, because like they've played one game against United this season and got banged out 3-1, so it's tough to get two over the top. Other people might think differently.
I think what came away from last season, and I think I think obviously Arsenal had made improvements, but I think there were kind of the questions that I wanted to kind of see answered if they were really to push on and become kind of top four perennials again, were can they start smashing teams rather than getting like 1-0, 2-0 wins. Started to kind of do that. They certainly have the potential to do that just with Jesus alone. Do they have resilience? Can they come back from going behind? Have not really shown that this season, apart from the Fulham game. Went behind United, got the goal, were on top for a bit, but got done in by that. And I think that was largely Arteta's fault because of the subs he made. He just threw caution to the wind and was like, I need to go gung-ho with 20 minutes to go. It's just like, okay, mate, you're still in this game. You're better team for the most part, and you just ruined it a bit. big games as well, particularly the away ones, because... still not an amazing record. Like, I remember, do you remember when they got beat 4-0 by Liverpool last season and the old pieces going around? It was like, oh, this one felt different. It's like, no, it didn't.
No, I'm still watching
just different players. That's the difference. Still the same kind of naivety. maybe you're not chucking the ball in your net this time, but sometimes, maybe that's even worse because you're not even making the defensive errors for them to score. So, whatever.
Yeah, maybe you don't start screaming, we've got our Arsenal back just yet.
And then the two other ones were squad depth and playing more than once a week, which kind of tied in. And we haven't really seen that yet because they did it once against, I think it was Villa and then United.
Yes, I think
which obviously they lost against United, but also they didn't do it after the Europa League games because one of them got postponed and the Premier League game after the first one got postponed because of the Queen's death. So still yet to see answers on that, and I think we'll know more about Arsenal going to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't have much to add on Arsenal, really, to be honest.
Don't care.
I'm slagging off enough.
Don't care. Spurs pod.
Spurs pod.
Spurs pod. So let's talk about Spurs then.
That's good.
Would you? Is now the time to go with the Kulusevski wing back thing? Because I've seen it float around a bit more. I personally feel like I don't want to lean on that kind of 20-minute spell.
Yeah.
Like 40 against Leicester. To go into a North London derby.
Yeah. Always. No. To be honest, I think Arsenal are gonna have a lot of the ball.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're knocking ourselves.
That's just how it's gonna go.
And I think we want Spurs to know that.
Yeah, that's how. Because Spurs know that's how they'll most likely be able to pick them off and score goals themselves. So I'm not sure how wise it would be to play Kulusevski as a right wing back for the whole game if we're not going to have that much of the ball.
Yeah.
And I do think Emerson is actually quite good defensively.
This game will need for him.
Yeah, for all the for all the crosses he sent into Rose Ed down the right hand side, I do think he could. If it is Martinelli who's playing on the left or whoever it is, I think he'll be able to shackle them well enough. I don't think you could play Kulu out wide. I'm just testing him out there from the start in a North London derby.
I like the idea.
That would
not
be like
way.
Son playing wing back in an FA Cup semi final. Yeah. Just
well, that would go.
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean,
you are.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching it around with some pals, so I'm going to try to enjoy it. And I think there's a decent chance of them going there to win, but it's just home advantage is so massive in the North London derby.
Yeah, what was it? When was the last away win in this derby for either team in the Premier League? Was it 2014?
I think it's 2014, Sheld. That Rizicky goal in the first minute.
That's how rare these kind of away
exactly.
Play. Always good games. Really good for the visitors, though.
Yeah, because they don't they don't seem to have the cojones on either side to go to the other stadium and win. But hopefully that comes to an end on Saturday.
Arsenal fans getting revved up for it.
Yeah. And I think Arteta Conte is a decent matchup for Spurs as well.
I'm looking forward to kind of the press conference nonsense and the lead up to it. I know there's going to be some...
There was a bit of niggle.
There was.
Between them.
And I think Conte would have gone harder if Spurs were ahead of Arsenal on the table. Last season at the time, because he did kind of go off on one about what was it? We can complain all we want about it, but ultimately, he needs to kind of grow up, basically. Focus on your team.
I think it was fixture congestion,
mm.
And then Conte said some stuff about that a few weeks
ago,
which took away our high ground a bit annoyingly. But oh well, I feel like I'm coised out.
I feel like I am.
My curry is weighing me down, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah. How's your burger going down?
Yeah, it's alright. I had to wait a long time for it. I was really hungry. And now I'm really full.
You did, yeah. I thought that was pretty harsh.
Yeah.
And again, if you go and order meat, that can happen.
Don't get on your moral...
No, I'm not getting on my moral high ground, but six or seven of you went to the same place and ordered a burger. And you were like...
Point?
You were like, where's my food?
Yeah.
They've got to cook it to order, Sean.
That's not true.
No, I know, man.
I could do it myself. I'll go back there. I'm not a cook.
We'll see how
definitely,
that goes.
Definitely.
We'll leak that with you then. Next week.
Cool. Yeah, I'll let you know. From the hospital. Okay, I think we're done.
Yeah.
I'm getting hot in this room as well.
It's so hot.
Yeah, so hot.
It's
okay.
So calm.
Okay, cool. Thank you for listening, everyone. Please subscribe if you haven't already and leave a review. It really helps us a lot. And we'll see you on the other side of the derby.
On a Tuesday night, you play Thursday because you're...
What Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.